The deliverance of Israel from Egypt is a picture of our salvation. Do you understand that? We were slaves in bondage. But the toughest master that you will ever serve is sin. Amen? Remember the old adage that tells us that, you know what? Sin will take you farther than you want to go. And it will. When you start down that path, it'll take you further than you ever wanted to go. It'll keep you longer than you ever wanted. Whenever sin's your master, it'll do that to you. Amen? I've seen it tear families up. I've seen sin tear homes. I've seen it destroy lives. I've even seen sin go so far as to take people's lives. I've seen it. Where they could not, it'll do that. It'll cost you more than what you ever want. Yes, sin is very hard. But I want you to understand something. We can overcome through the power of Jesus Christ and His finished work upon the cross. And praise God, I am so glad to stand here today and tell you that you can. Don't let the devil defeat you in this. Do not let it do it. I want you claiming your Canaan this morning. I want you to be able to do that this morning. Let's turn to Joshua 1:1-13. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do place, that the sole of your foot shall tread upon. That have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great rivers, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sea, there shall not be any man be able to stand before thee, all but thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Remember that. You are a servant of God, and He will not fail you, and He will not forsake you. Do you understand that this morning? Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for inheritance unto the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, and thou mayest observe to do according to from it to the right hand, nor to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, then thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee, be strong and of a good thing, for whosoever thou goest, whithersoever thou goest? Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare ye victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over the Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. And to the Reubenites, and to the Gadites, and to half the tribes of Manasseh, spake Joshua, saying, remember the word which Moses has given you rest and has given you this land. Can you say amen? He's done that. Let us pray. We have to stand here. I want to praise you, Lord, thanking you for the congregation that's made their way out here, thanking you for this beautiful Lord's Day. I want to thank you, Lord, for your Spirit. I want to thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, and how that you're still in the saving business this morning. And Father, we pray, Lord, that you would give us and help us to understand that we need to claim this land. We need to claim the Canaan that you're giving us. In Jesus' name we pray and ask, and amen. The children of Israel are standing at the door of the promised land right here. That's where they're at. You know what? They're ready to go. They're going to. God has promised them. This is a great day for God's chosen people. This is what they have been waiting on for 40 years. And you know what? All the years of heartache and all the years of trouble had finally come to where it was going to be worth it. Amen? A whole generation of people had to pass away before this promise could come to pass. We all know the story of the 12 spies, do we not? How that Moses had sent them into the land. We know that. And you know what? And that they come back, 10 of them gave a discouraging report. That's what happened. 10 of them did. And it went something like this. And I'm going to give it the Medina version. I'm going to give it to you this way. It was all that God said it would be. It was beautiful. It was full of plenty. Everything we need is there. It is a land flowing with milk and honey, but, have you ever heard that before? But, if you think for one man with the people who's there, you know what? You're fooling yourself. It's a pipe dream. And I tell you, this is how Numbers 13:30, Hogan, and we are Pee Wee Herman. You know that's not how it went. This is how it actually went. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, so we were in their sight. Folks, yes, it was like them being, it was like Nick Hogan and us being Pee Wee Herman. That's what it was like. And besides that, you know what else we saw? All those cities that you prepared walls around them. They had such huge walls that you could drive a chariot on top of them if you wanted to. And we're not talking a subcompact version either. We're talking one of them big four-door crew cab version chariots. We could drive it around them walls. And you know what? You know, and that's what, but this is really what Numbers 13:28 said. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in that land. Now get this. And the cities are walled and very large walled cities. And they went over to just check it out. According to 10 of these spies, it would have been better off if they would have stayed in the land of Egypt. And if they would have just went ahead and stayed in the wilderness, just wandering around. It would have been better for them to do that. And you know what? 2:4. And all the congregation lifted up her voice and cried in the peace and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, would God we had died in the wilderness. They would have much rather stayed in bondage. They would have much rather been wandering around in the wilderness than go and try to claim what God had promised them that they could have. I want to tell you something this morning. If you're wondering if you're still over in Egypt, if you're still in sin, God has promised that you can have the eternal home in heaven. You can have what He has. You can claim your Canaan. All you have to do is come and get it. All you have to do is come and get it. I'll tell you, God has promised us that. God, this morning, here we are. And therefore has the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be prey. Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return. But you know what? We serve a loving God. We serve a trust. If it had been me, I would have said, you know what? Gather yourself on all you want. Get you someone to lead you and get yourself back to Egypt if you want to go. That's what I would have said. That's what human beings would have said. God didn't say that, did He? But there rose up a minority of two. I'm going to tell you here this morning, and you may agree with me on this, you may not have, but if that would have happened in the United States of America, where two people, which a minority had rose up, amen or oh my. But you know what? That wasn't what the case here. Two people rose up, and they said, well, you know, we have seen those giants just like you did. We also seen those huge walls that surrounded their cities. But you know what else they saw? They saw God. They saw a God that could make it happen. That's what they saw. And you know what? He said they were ready. Numbers 13:30 says, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go at once. Let us go at once to possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Do something this morning. If God says that it's going to happen, mark it down. Put it in your book. It will happen. You can have it. You can claim it this morning. I'm not a name a claim a preacher, but brother said, if it's in God's word, it stands true to me. It stands true. You know what? Joshua and Caleb knew that they could not even go claim a fence post on their own. They knew that. But they knew with the power of God that they could claim the promised land. Amen? They knew that they could do it. They knew that they had served a God who had already promised them the land. And mark it down, it's going to happen. Doubt was a doubt with them. The other 10, they, those people, you know what? Over in Numbers 14:21-24, but as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Because all those men which have seen my, tempted me now these 10 times and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swore unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit in him, has followed me fully. Him will I bring into the land wherefore he went, and his seed shall possess it. I want you to know something, folks. They turned in 11 days. It was only going to take them 11 days to get where they needed to go. Deuteronomy, first chapter 2 and 3 tells us that. It said, there were 11 days journey for Hoab by the way of Mount Seir in the 11th month on the first day of the month that Moses spake unto the children of Israel according to all that the Lord had given his commandments unto them because of unbelief. 40 years. That rebellious generation died off. A new generation come along. And you know what? God said they could march right in and possess it. And they were ready to do it. The land was called Canaan, and they were claiming their Canaan. Say that here this morning. That's what Canaan is. Canaan is a picture of Moses couldn't enter into this land because he disobeyed, right? He couldn't. Numbers 20 chapter 7 through 12 tells us that. But I believe that we will see Moses in heaven one day. Don't you? I believe that. The life of victory isn't a life of perfection. Don't think for a moment that the Bible never told me or you that we were going to have perfection in our life. We are to strive to be perfect, are we not? We are. But it's a life of growth. A growing in grace. Maturing. Till we can do that over the world, over our own flesh. And you know what? We can have victory over the devil. Amen? We can do that. We can do that. Praise God. Every person here is in one of three categories. I want to tell you this morning. I believe this. You're either still in Egypt. And what I'm saying to that, get out of it. I'll give you the opportunity here right now if you want to come or later on. But you need to get saved this morning if you're still in Egypt. Or you're in the wilderness. You're saved but going nowhere other than in circles. That's what they did for 40 years. They went in circles. Been saved for years, but you aren't really digging into your Bible. Still not really praying and not expecting your prayers to be answered even when you are praying. Still not consistent. Still not making commitments to try and serve God. Still not doing it. Been saved for years. Have never led a soul to Christ. Ouch. Ouch. You're not much closer to God in the wilderness. Just going in circles and bumping into walls and saying, oh man, you know, I can't get nowhere. Why? Because you've got a wilderness experience in your life right now. Can I say that to you? Or number three, you're in Canaan right now. You're excited, you're growing, whenever I see you've got the joy of the Lord written all over your face. You know what? You're not one of those people, one of them wandering wilderness people. You know what? You're out there to try it. You're a giant conqueror is what you are. You're a big wrecking ball trying to tear down the walls that the devil tries to build around your life. That's when you are. The devil tries to do that. And while I'm at it, I'm going to get on to churches while I'm at it. Okay, can you bear with me here a little bit? There's the Egypt church also. You know what that is? That's a church which doesn't preach salvation. They don't the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Amen? They don't preach to you that you need not to sin anymore. You need to get out of the sin business and you need to stay out of it. There's a church in some of these churches nowadays. That's an Egypt church to me. Then there's the wilderness churches. Say people going nowhere in circles. Some of these churches, very rarely do you see people saved. Not alone to get saved. But I think they're misguided. Amen. I believe that. Praise God this morning. And I'll tell you something else too. Rarely is there a moving of the Holy Spirit. You know what? If the Holy Spirit moving, some of the churches scared them. The offerings are up. They say they're okay because, you know, they've been able to make a lot of improvements to the church buildings. Let's dress up and shake hands, brothers and sisters, and just have fellowship from time to time. Thank God we're saved. And you know what? Forget about the rest of the world. They can go to hell in a handbasket. And that's what's happening. That's what's happening in some of these churches nowadays. That's what it is. Then there's the Canaan church. Praise God, when you walk in, the moment you walk into it, you feel excitement. Amen? For most of you, the spirit of joy is there. The people of these churches have an air of expectancy about them. You know what? They're expecting God to move in their life. They're expecting God to do something in the church. They are a church, you know? They are a Canaan church is what they are. They've expected Canaan and they've got it. Amen. They're there already. The church is growing spiritually and in numbers. That's what it's doing. The people walk as a team. The people encourage are always striving for more of God. Always. The moment that we keep striving for more of God in our lives, we need to find out what's wrong. We need to find out what's wrong. In this text I read this morning, a new era begins, does it not? A new generation is asked to step to the plate and do their part. Claim their Canaan. I think we can learn something. They had to prepare. Their preparation to be made. In verse 11, it tells us right there of what I read this morning. pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare you victuals. What is he saying? Prepare provisions. Now, the River Jordan at this time of year was flooded. That's how it was. It was just this time of year. Well, Joshua didn't go through and tell them to build a boat. He didn't go through and tell them to build a bridge, did he not? He said, you go and prepare provisions to get across there and go. He wanted them. You know what? He was telling them to change their diet, right? You see, they needed a diet change. And you're saying, what? Do you realize what they had ate? Manna. What did they eat in the evening? Manna and sometimes quail. Remember quail come into the scene there for a while? You know what? Whenever the man got home from work, he said, what do we have for... He didn't have to ask what they were having for supper. Or how it was cooked. We're having manna! They weren't supposed to only eat it for 11 days. You understand that? It was only supposed to be an 11-day journey. They weren't supposed to eat this stuff for 40 years. I want to ask you something. If you ate the same thing, meal after meal after meal, for 40 years, how would you feel? How would you feel? Thank God for supplying it. I'm not arguing that point. But you know what? Do you not think there might have been a little bit of complaining? Oh, these people complained all the time for 40 years. I know they did. I've heard people talk about the Great Depression. And maybe some of you in here have lived through it. I heard this little joke about meals a day. Oatmeal in the morning, cornmeal at lunch, and no meal at supper. There was only supposed to be 11 days of eating that. You know what it was supposed to be? It was supposed to be a heavenly appetizer. That's all it was supposed to be. To get them where? To get them to a land that flows with milk and honey. That's what it was. You know what? They were going to claim Canaan for themselves, or they were going to change their diet. That's what he's trying to tell them. Start feeding on God's Word. If we set a feast before us in like manner, it is something different for us every day. It's His Word. Some will push it away. They'll come in here and they'll listen to the teachers. They'll listen to me preach on Sunday. But during the rest of the week, they push the meal away. And they don't want anything of God's Word in their life. They don't want it. For whatever reasons. God's Word on Sunday morning, it should not be what we have for the rest of it. Should not. Let me ask you this. How many of you would fix 3 good meals on Sunday for your kids and for your family? I mean, you fix good, healthy meals on Sunday. And then the rest of the week, you feed them a Snickers bar and a can of Coke for breakfast, for lunch, and for supper. How many of you here would do that? None of you would do that, right? Why? Because it's not healthy. It's not good. Then why do we come to church? We feast on God's Word on Sunday, and then the rest of the week we push it aside. Why do we do that? Self-approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know what I want to say? Who correctly handles God's Word? Are you able to correctly handle the Word of God this morning? As you go out of here, don't just depend on me. I told you this, and I know you get tired of hearing me repeat some of this stuff over and over again. But you know what? Study to show that I'm preaching to you right. Study to show that they're teaching you right. Study. You know what? We fill up on everything else. We fill up on spiritual junk food, do we not? We do that. We're addicted to TV shows. We're addicted to movies, video games, computers, smartphones. The list could go. Listen, it don't take much to sit down and read God's Word. It don't take much. And I'm saying, you know what? We put our time there. I'm not saying all these other things are bad or evil. I'm not saying that. But why can we not digest God's Word sometime down during the week? You know what? Garbage in? You think you're going to get out of Rembrandt? Can you tell me that? You think you will? I don't think so. Garbage in, garbage out. That's how it goes. Like the children of Israel, Joshua was telling them to get ready, change their diet so they could get into Canaan. It's the Canaan land. I want you to know something. If you expect to get into Canaan, if you expect to get into that state, I want you to know you may have to change your diet a little bit. It may not be the same old, same old. You may have to get out of your comfort zone from time to time. You may have to do that. Praise God this morning. I tell you what. Amen. I tell you, I feel we made it. The junk stuff can only satisfy us for so long, right? Have you ever noticed that if you eat junk food. I mean, this is just me. I'll just put me in this again. I eat junk food, and it isn't too long. I'm wanting more. I'm wanting something else. You know how it does? It's because of the carbs. And I'm not no scientific, but it's how that it breaks you long. It doesn't take long. I'm hungry again. But you know what? I'm not saying it's junk. If the church continues to grow spiritually, it won't because I tell funny jokes. I'm going to tell you that. It won't be because I dress up prim and proper. It'd be because every time the doors are open, if the church continues to grow, it's not going to be that reason. The only true and spiritual growth will come because of what? The Word of God is big and they are fed. Amen? That's the only way that a church will grow. That's the only way that you will grow spiritually. The job of the teachers and of myself is to lead and to feed. And you know what your job is? Is to swap. And I say that with love. I say it with love in my heart. Listen, folks. Power. Let's look at verse 11 again. The last part of it. For within 3 days, remember that. For within 3 days ye shall pass over Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. Just as Jonah was in the belly of the whale. How many days? 3 days. Alright. Abraham took Isaac up to sacrifice him, and they come back after how many days? 3 days alive. They come back after 3 days. You know what also? Who was in the tomb for 3 days and rose and still lives today? We know that. I will tell you what, it's not coincidence that he said within this brother. I don't think it is one bit. I want to tell you something. God's telling them, you know what? That through His power, through His grace, we are going to do this. This generation of people is going to claim their Canaan. I want to tell you this morning, it is through His power, or the personal power to do it. We cannot do it on our own. We have to do it through the strength of Jesus Christ. Amen? You have to be plugged in and you have living victoriously. Living victoriously is not your responsibility. And I can see your eyes just looking, what are you talking about, preacher? Response to God's ability. It's your response to God's ability that makes you live a victorious life. Amen? Philippians, and the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death, greater than the power of God's creation of the universe, even greater is the resurrection power that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Amen? Raising Jesus from the dead was the greatest power displayed because it paved the way for God to do it to each and every one of us. The greatest power that was ever created, right? He took nothing and made this whole universe. That's what made Him the Creator. Making life out of death. You know what it made Him? It made Him. Not because He didn't make us perfect. God made us perfect. He did. But you know what? We couldn't make it. We couldn't on our own. It's high time we learned that we can't do this by our own power. None of us can. Don't think that you can. I don't care what it is, you cannot do it by you. It's time to plug in and stay plugged into the higher power. If you want to live victoriously, there will be giants to face, walled cities to attack. You're going to face them. But praise God, we don't have to face them alone. We don't, do we? We can't face them alone. Get into the real source. Let me tell you something right now. I want to ask you something. I'll tell you Romans. It has. You know what? And I'm going to ask it a few questions. You know what I mean? I want to tell us out. Go out there and shake hands with Michelle. Would you do that? I'm going to do that. I wonder why are you going to do that? Huh? How you going to do that? I want you to pick up that Bible and wave that Bible. I want you to do that, Coach. The thing's listened to me preach. It has. I wanted to get down there and pray. I want this coat to get down there and pray. I want to get down, all right. I don't think it'll pray, right? No, I don't think it'll do that. Yeah. Go out there and shake hands with Michelle. I'm not going to shake hands with Michelle right now. Happy birthday, by the way. And you know what? I could tell this coat to lift this Bible right here and wave this Bible, and it'll do it. You know, I could tell this coat to get down here and pray, and it'll get down here and pray with me. It's not the coat. It's you in the coat, right? I'm glad you got the point. It's not you. It's God living within you.
Amen.
You know what? You can tell yourself that you want to pray more. You can tell yourself all manner of things that you want to do. But I'm here to tell you this morning, you're not going to do it unless the Spirit of God, unless God's living in your life. Amen? You can't do it. Now let me. you can say there's no way, but with God working in us and through us, we can do all things, right? Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I can't do nothing on my own. Believe you me, there's no way I could preach on my own. But I cannot preach on my own. I can't do nothing on my own without God in my life. With God working in us, we can do. Let Him help you tear down those walls that have surrounded your life. Let God do that. Let God help you claim Canaan. Let Him do that. Let God already claim it. He's given you the opportunity to take it if you just claim it. The Bible tells us to do that. He does it. Get victory over it. Get victory over lust. Get it over greed, financial trouble. Get victory over it, but you're not going to do it on your own. Do not try to do it on your own. You're not going to have much success. You've got to do it through Jesus Christ. Amen? You've got to do it through Him. Through obedience and faith. Remember, you don't have to fight these battles alone. What do we have? God is on our side. The enemy doesn't have it. He doesn't have it. He can't have it. He's our enemy. If God be for us, who can be against us? I want to ask you that seriously this morning. If God be for us, who can be against us? I want you to claim Canaan this morning. I want you to do that. I want you to, if you're here this morning and you're having issues in your life and troubles in your life, and it seems like that you're just, you heard me say, I'm not saying you're lost, but it's high time. It's high time that we put aside the weights. And you know what we do? We put aside those weights. Those weights sometimes aren't sin. It says sin and weights. You know what? Let's get up here. Let's claim what they did right there. You know what? Let's do that. And praise God, I believe God will bless us beyond measure. Do you? I think He will. Let's get a song, please.